Yes, let's turn the word to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God, to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 19. It's a very short verse, but at the same time, it takes us a whole lifetime to try to practice what Jesus has commanded us here. Luke 21:19 says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Amen. In your patience possess ye your souls. The title of this message is simply Patience, Waiting on the Time of God. Patience is to wait on the time of God. Praise God. If God can teach us patience in our walk with Him, I am certain that we will not pray many of our prayers that we make to God. What I mean by this is much of our prayers is because we are impatient. So what we probably should be praying to Jesus is saying, help me to be patient in regard to the time that you have for my prayers to be answered. Praise God. If we are patient, many of our prayers will become redundant, unnecessary. You remember the apostles asked Jesus when he was about to leave this world after his 3-year physical ministry. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, they were impatient. The kingdom was restored to Israel in 1948, but the kingdom that Jesus will restore, the kingdom that Jesus will be the king over, has not yet transpired, has not yet happened. So the Lord told them to just ignore these matters. It's not for them to know the times and the seasons that God has set in his power. Praise God. I believe we would be much more happier. There will be much less stress in our lives as Christians if we understand how to pray and learn to wait for the time of Jesus. This is what we should pray for. Hallelujah. The apostles must have spent a lot of time worrying about the kingdom of Israel when they met Jesus the first time. They had hopes that he will restore the kingdom. On the road to Emmaus, they were disappointed. When people don't understand the mission of Jesus, they become impatient. When we do not understand that many things are not good for us, many things we need to wait, because when you wait, and develop patience. Patience is one of the few things you cannot get as a gift from God. It has to be experienced. You have to earn it, praise God. Say with me, I need to earn patience. With the help of God, we need to learn to earn patience. It's not something God just gives you as a gift, because you have to experience life as a Christian. You have to experience life as a believer. Hallelujah. The authorized version, a standard version of the Bible, says in regard to Luke chapter 21, verse 19, in your patience, you shall win your souls. Think about it. In your patience, you shall win your souls. Somebody may say, well, I thought I'm already saved. Yes, Jesus saved us, but we have a role to play. If we do not develop patience, we may actually lose our souls. So in your patience, you shall win your souls, praise God. We all need to take these words to heart. We need to pray about it. Brother, sister, let me remind you, nothing is more important as long as you breathe more than your salvation. Amen. If there's a storm, if there is freezing temperature, whatever the weather may bring, as long as you know that you have a roof over your head, you have some heating, you have food in the house, you're okay. In the same way, whatever life may throw at us, whatever shocks, whatever surprises, as long as we know we have our salvation, we are victorious in Jesus' name. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Hallelujah. Amen. We need patience in Jesus' name. The opposite of what Jesus said would be, in impatience, you shall lose your souls. God forbid. We don't want to be impatient and lose our souls. Do you know when you can say that you are mature as a Christian? And Jesus will smile upon you and be really proud of your development in Him. It is when you learn to wait on the time of God. Praise God. Let me remind you about the Bible. What is the Bible? The Bible is a book about God's dealings with humans, God's promises to human beings, to nations, to the church, to the world, to everyone. Do you know that everyone has been given a promise by God? Whether they are believers or unbelievers, saved or unsaved, devils or angels, everyone has been given a promise by God. There will be a day of judgment. Jesus will return. There is a new Jerusalem. There is a bottomless pit. There is a lake of fire. God has promises for everyone. We need patience to see all of these things come to pass. Do not throw away your patience. We need to nurture it. We need to pray, Jesus, give me a patience that will overcome time, a patience that overcomes seasons, a patience that overcomes incidents, episodes, a patience that is immune to the tide of time. Praise God. People come and go, always remember. Problems come and go, but our salvation is forever. Hallelujah. Focus on that which is forever. The opposite is to be like Peter before he was saved. Satan sifted him, tossed him to and fro. Peter didn't have patience. He took a sword. He believed that he could actually do something about the plan of God. We can be so religious that we may be fighting the plan of God without knowing it. It's prophesied that Jesus has to die. But in his zeal for Jesus, Peter was determined to stop that from happening. But if you calm down, Read the scriptures again. Listen to what Jesus is saying. You will realize that your impatience is about to try to destroy the plan of God, although we know no one can destroy the plan of God. So, Peter's life before he came to the Lord, he had to learn patience. For some people, it's more difficult than it for others. Patience is a great, great blessing from God. Hallelujah. I remember, I don't know if Sister Patience is here, but years ago, she traveled with us to Wara in Ethiopia. And there was an American pastor who met her. What's your name? She said, Sister Patience. And the first thing he said is, my goodness, that's exactly what I need. Patience. Lord, give me patience. Amen. It's not only him. All of us need patience. Patience is calm. Patience is not easily rattled. Patience runs with the timing of God. Patience does not have a frog perspective. It has a bird's eye view on the big plan of God. Hallelujah. It takes time to sit with Jesus in heavenly places. But a person who has a frog's eye view of things is a person who sees too many enemies. They're everywhere. Every animal is an enemy. Every insect becomes a big problem. But when you in the skies with Jesus, heavenly places, you do not see as many things as the frog sees. You know that they are not relevant. They are just a distraction. May God bless us to have heavenly patience, to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said. Amen. We need to learn how to sit with Jesus in heavenly places. Praise God. You remember the Apostle John, Jesus invited him to come up hither. Hallelujah. We need to be invited to come, go up thither to be with Jesus. Because sometimes when we are suffering on the island in the island of Patmos, we don't see anything. We think it's finished. But when you are taken up to sit with Jesus, the whole future unravels before you. You see the lamb, the seals, the sea of glass. You see the 24 elders. You see the coming of the Antichrist and evil, and then you see the coming of Jesus. You see the New Jerusalem. We cannot see these things if we are down in Patmos. We see it when we sit with Christ in heavenly places. This is why we pray. This is why we come to church. We gather together the people of God, because if you don't do it, you will be seeing what Peter was saying. Even the high priest servant becomes a problem. It was Peter who made the high priest servant famous. Otherwise, he would not be known at all. Sorry to put it this way. I mean, he's a human being and God bless him. But why is he known in the Bible? It's Peter, because of his impatience, he made this guy famous by cutting off his ear. Hallelujah. We don't need to cut people's ears off on the way to. Let's focus on the big picture, Golgotha. Amen. What has Golgotha got to do with the ear of the high priest servant? You see, when we're impatient, then a small thing like the ear of the high priest becomes famous. God have mercy. Amen. Is that what Peter wants to be famous for? God bless his soul. We love Peter. Imagine meeting Peter in heaven asking, Brother Peter, why did you cut off the high priest's servant Malchus's ear? Peter, I'm sure, would laugh and look back and say, you know, Satan was sifting me. And instead of looking at the big picture, Jesus carrying the cross, taking away our sins, the ear of the high priest became a big issue for me. When a person is not patient, the ear of the high priest becomes a big issue. God have mercy. May the Lord help us. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Who raises us up? Jesus. How does he do it? Together. Where do we sit? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. We checked into the airline called Jesus. It took off. It went to heaven. We are seated with him in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the beauty of patience in the Lord. Praise God. Let us be careful what we focus on. Impatience will make other things attractive, important, etc. In your patience, possess ye your souls, Jesus says. Amen. Every child of God has to learn to put on the wristwatch of God, so to speak. God's clock is quite different to the clock of the world. Amen. The great stories of the Bible are stories about individuals who, through great patience, inherited the promises of God. Do you have the wristwatch of God? Amen. Does it tell you about God's timing? Or are we too bound to the time of this world? It is time for breakfast. It is time to wake up. It's a time to go to work. It is a time to go for a walk. It's a time to visit relatives. Are we bound by this wristwatch? Or have we learned to close our eyes? If I ask everyone for a moment to close your eyes. And I want to ask you for a moment. Do you hear the ticking of the clock of Jesus? Try to hear it. What do I mean by the clock of Jesus? Jesus has a time for salvation, a time where he will return, a time for judgment. Are you aware of this clock? You may open your eyes. Do you hear this clock? It should never stop ticking. Amen. Say with me, the clock of God will never stop ticking in my ears, in my spiritual ears. Those are ears that nobody can cut off in Jesus. We are people who hear a clock, a time, the eternal time of God. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. From that time, God started a clock. No matter what happens on this earth, doesn't matter what you and I do, what the kings and powers do, everyone has an appointment with the clock of Jesus. Everyone has an appointment with the time of Jesus. For this reason, I say to you, do not become too preoccupied. Do not become too bogged down Do not lose yourself in the clock of other human beings, of nations. You know, human beings want you to believe that their time is the most important time. Their arrangements are the most important. That's not true. It is the time of God. Hallelujah. So in your patience, possess your souls. Hallelujah. Abraham waited for 25 years to witness the birth of Isaac. 25 long years, brothers and sisters. God kept him waiting. Every day, Abraham woke up to the clock of Isaac, the promise of Isaac. And when the sun was going down, he would hear the clock ticking. Through your loins, you will have a son. He must have said tomorrow, tomorrow perhaps. For 25 years, Abraham said tomorrow perhaps. He learned to level with the time of God. Hallelujah. It was not his idea to bring Hagar and to get Isaac, Ishmael. It was Sarah's idea. Abraham, actually, the fact that he didn't come up with this plan means he was still living by the clock of God. Praise God. What clock are you following? What promises did Jesus give you? Don't be hasty. I have seen new Christians start with a lot of fire, and after 10 years, they're gone. 15 years, they're dead. Listen, the Christian life is a big marathon. It's 50 years, 70 years, even 100 years of Christian marathon. Amen. Be patient. Hallelujah. Follow the time of God. Relax. God has a time. Again, they were in a hurry. They told Jesus, "What will this disciple do?" They were speaking about John. You know, it was not John who was impatient. He didn't ask about himself. Some brothers and sisters can be so zealous for you that they take it upon themselves to pray to Jesus, "Oh my God, what will Brother Simon do? My God, what will Brother Ashebir do?" And Brother Simon and Brother Ashebir are not bothered. They're relaxed. But there is a Christian who is stressed for them. Relax, praise God. Jesus, you know what Jesus told them basically? He said, "If I want him to wait till I return, what is that to you? Is that your business?" No. That was a rebuke. That was a shame. Relax, praise God. Let's tell each other, relax in Jesus' name. Don't be more zealous than Jesus. It's not possible to be more zealous than Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to pray, "Lord, let me hear your clock. Let me know when to act upon your clock." Amen. What clock are you wearing? Some people are wearing a psycho. I'm wearing a, what is it called? Swiss military. I am neither Swiss nor do I belong to the military, my brother Shebir, but that's the name of my watch. For me, it's important because I bought it in Israel. And for me, Israel is the clock of God, prophetic clock. So I never throw it away. 7 years. No, what 7 years? 9 years I've been wearing this watch. Amen. Yes, Brother Simon's wearing a citizen. Praise God. So some are wearing Swiss military. Some are wearing a sporting a citizen. But I hope from today that when we look at our wristwatches, I hope we can hear the ticking of the sound of the clock of Jesus. Praise God. That is the best sound to hear. The worst deafness is the deafness to to the sound of the ticking of the clock of Jesus. That is the worst deafness. There are people who hear everything in this world, but they're deaf to the sound of the clock of Jesus. Why don't we pray and say, Lord, open my hearing. I'm deaf. I need to hear the tick-tock, the tick-tock of the clock of Jesus. Amen. That's the most beautiful sound you can hear. This is what saved the apostles. The Bible says they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. Time. Patience. Hallelujah. All these people who followed Jesus had one thing in common. They lived by another clock. And when Jesus returns, let me tell you, it is not an accident who will be raptured up to meet Jesus. It is the people who every day lived with tick-tock, tick-tock, Jesus talk, Jesus tick, Jesus talk. Hallelujah. We will be the ones to go. Hallelujah. So, we need to possess our souls in our patience. Hallelujah. Remember the time of God. Joseph waited 22 years to see Jacob. Listen, Joseph never lost hope that he will see his father. You know why? Because he knew he's not dead. Jacob lost hope because they convinced him that Joseph is dead. Not so with Joseph. Do you know that Joseph could have, if he wanted to, he could have prepared his army, the Egyptian army, and said, let's go to meet my father. He could have. What is stopping him? Have you thought about it? Nothing stopped him. But he waited for the time of God. Ah, hallelujah. And have you ever thought of this before? Isn't that a beautiful thought? Joseph is the second most powerful man in the world. Remember, when his father died, he went with the Egyptian army to bury him in the land of Canaan. Amen. So what was stopping Joseph from going with the Egyptian army to finding his father? To tell him, here, father, I'm alive. The time of God. God has a time because Joseph must have remembered his dream. You remember the dream of Joseph? He saw all the sheep stand up and they bow down to him. God is not a liar. Joseph, being a prophet and a great man of God, he said, let them come to me. I know this dream will come through. I don't need to go looking for these sheep. I saw the moon, the sun and the moon, the stars bowing down to me. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm sure he didn't say it with arrogance. He was a humble man of God. Tick, talk, tick, talk, tick, talk. Believe in the promises of God. Be stubborn in the promises of God. Say with me, time will take me to Jesus. I know my Redeemer lives. There's no discussion. I know. Praise God. Hallelujah. With every fiber of my being, I know I will see Jacob. I know Isaac will be born. Praise God. I know I will see Jesus. As I see you, I will see Jesus for myself. Nobody will need to describe Jesus to me. I saw him before 1986. I will see him again. 100%. Moses languished in the desert of Midian for 40 years before God delivered his people. 40 years. Moses was in the desert. Do you think he ever became a Midianite? Never. Wearing the clothes of a Midianite doesn't make you a Midianite. Hallelujah. Somehow, deep down in the recesses of his soul, he knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives. His God will one day deliver Israel. But he didn't know that he was the instrument. Hallelujah. You see, when he rose up and killed this Egyptian, he had no clue that that was the beginning of God preparing him. He may have been impatient at that time, but God was in his impatience. He sent him off to Midian. And then he returned as a different man. Be sure the promises of God will be fulfilled. God told Abraham 400 years before that time, your children will be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But then I will visit them. I will punish that Pharaoh. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Daniel had to endure 70 years in Babylon, in Persia, before his people could return. 70 years. 70 years. He had to fight off all these corrupt forces that wanted him to eat food that was defiled to their gods. 70 years. He had to deal with capricious, bloodthirsty kings like Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, etc. But he triumphed. He never forgot the clock of God. He read the book of Jeremiah. Look at your clock. Look at your watch. The Bible is our watch. Isaiah says, watchmen, what time is it? What of the night? Praise God. There was a time people in our part of the world or even worldwide talked about the Second World War, about the crazy designs of this madman called Hitler. Can you imagine living in that generation and talking about it, reading about it in the newspapers? And then everybody celebrates D-Day and V-Day. And then suddenly, after a little while, the same generation says, oh my God, we thought we were rid of this evil empire. And now there's a new one, something called the Cold War. How is a war cold? You fight with cold weapons. And there's this new monster called Joseph Stalin. And we've heard so many horrible things that he does, sending people to Siberia and the gulags. And you see, and there's great famine. There's another dictator in China called Mao Zedong. Think about living in those days. Where is that generation? Where are those headlines? They are gone with the wind. Tick tock. Tick tock. God's time will sweep away whatever you think is important today. What is really important is our salvation. In your salvation, possess ye yours. In your patience, possess ye your souls. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. We need discipline. We need an iron will from God. Praise Jesus. Don't lose sight of the trophy. Don't lose your salvation. I've always told people we can discuss anything, but negotiate on anything. But my salvation is out of question. I don't trust my salvation with anybody. Don't misunderstand. Do not trust your salvation with anybody except with Jesus. Amen. We learn from the Bible. Joseph couldn't trust anything with his brothers. Yeah. Even Abraham could have lost many things when he listened to Sarah. We're all human beings, is what I'm saying. We're not anti-brothers or anti-wives, no. Just don't trust your salvation with anybody. It's between you and Jesus. Did your brothers save you? Did your wife save you? Did your husband save you? Did the king save you? No. Did the pastor save you? Absolutely not. The pastor is only an instrument of God to tell you about your salvation. But it becomes your salvation. Say, my salvation. It's not the pastor's salvation. It's not anybody's. It's Jesus' salvation. He gave it to you. Your job is to bring it back to him. Hallelujah. Say, I will. I'm determined. We used to sing this old song. For I promise the Lord that I will make it somehow. And now I love him too much to fail him now. I love him too much to fail him now. Amen. Too much. We love Jesus too much to break my vow. For I promised the Lord that I will make it somehow. Say with me, I will make it somehow, Jesus. I promise you, Jesus, I will make it somehow. Come on. We didn't fight all these battles many years so that we come to the end and tell Jesus, sorry, I lost it on the way. What? Never. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. We love our salvation too much. For me, it's most of my life. I was 15. I'm 53. I don't remember much of a life outside of Jesus. Jesus found me early. I thank God he found me at the age of 15. So that the devil didn't have time. I don't know what the devil was planning. But Jesus struck him preemptively. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. May Jesus strike our children preemptively. Praise God. May Jesus appear to them. Hallelujah. TikTok. Say TikTok. No, I'm not speaking about the TikTok or what do you call the social media, the Chinese TikTok. No, no, no. The Chinese are not TikToking according to Jesus' time. I'm speaking about the heavenly TikTok. Do you hear it? Praise God. Praise God. God bless your hearing. Let's turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Titus, chapter 2, from verses 11, 12, and 13. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. See, to all men. It's the promise of God. He will appear to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. Looking for, somebody say, TikTok, hallelujah. Looking for, waiting for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Indeed, we will win our salvation through patience. The tribe of Issachar in the Bible had a unique gift. Among the 12 tribes of Israel, this was a tribe that was gifted with something unique. They knew the time of God. Did you know that? Let's turn to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Did you know that this chapter was talking about the time when Israel was discussing and deliberating about whether they should make David king of Israel? In the same chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 38, the Bible says all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. So let me break it down for you. What was happening is Israel came together. They said, what do we do with David? And the children of Issachar, these were people who were wise. They knew about timing. They had experience with these things. God gave them this gift. So the children of Israel went to them and said, brothers, tribe of Issachar, you are the tribe with this gift of knowing the time of God. Is it time to make David king? And the children of Issachar came together with their 200 leaders. They prayed, deliberated, and said, yes. Does anybody doubt that their decision was from God? God already prophesied. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, praise God. So there's no discussion. These people had the patience. They had the gift of knowing what time it is. Amen. What time is it? Christian patience is about going about your daily business of life while being constantly aware of the return of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you that we need this gift even when it comes to general life. I wish I could give you many examples from my own life, but I'm not here to preach about me. But I can tell you that very clearly, I used to pray years and years ago because the Lord sensitized me to understand, as the saying goes in English, the devil is in the details. We should have a special sense, call it a seventh sense, where you just know this is the time. Amen. God, I believe, gave me such a blessing because much of my success was to do with, I just knew, no, this may look like a small thing, but it's now I should strike. Now I should put in this application. Now I should do this. And it always worked, praise God. Say, the right time. You should know when to sow, the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen. And when to reap. There is a time for everything, praise God, under the sun. What time is it? But I'm speaking about the bigger clock. But at the same time, if you learn to listen to the clock of Jesus, you will become quite proficient in also understanding the clock of this world from a spiritual perspective. Amen. Very often I can look at a situation and I just know now is the time to do this. Now is the time. Now is the time to do nothing. It's called active waiting. Active waiting. Amen. Sometimes you should not do much. You can cause a lot of trouble. You know, Peter should just be patient. You want to take a sword to Jerusalem? Let it be for decoration. Don't get excited and try to take out people's ears. Hallelujah. May God give us the spirit of the children of Issachar. We know, we should know who will be a good leader, who will be a blessing, and also who has an agenda, who is playing games, whom we should avoid. All of this is wisdom. In your patience, possess your souls. Did Jesus not say twice in the book of Matthew 24, there will come many Christs, isn't it? So the impatient people will be cheated and rush to them. So Jesus said, beware when they said, Lord, what are the signs of your coming? The first thing Jesus said, beware of false Christs. You know why Christians sometimes jump here and there and join different sects and denominations? Because they get tired of waiting. They keep looking at their time, at their watch. If I go to a train station, I look at the time that the train is supposed to come, and I relax. But I'm always surprised when I see people looking at their watch every 2 seconds, as if that is going to make the train come faster. You know, such people affect me because I like to take it a bit easy. So have you seen those people who are like stressing? They look at their watch 50 times. And then you know, they stress you out. And then you begin to wonder, something going on. Has the time changed on the board? No. The digital, you know. It says there, it's coming 5:54. Relax, man. Looking at your watch 50 times is not going to make the train come faster. So we need to be calm. We need to hear the tick-tock of the clock of Jesus. In your patience, possess ye your souls, Jesus. We're not going to jump at everybody who comes and says they are prophet so-and-so, miracle worker so-and-so, Bible teacher so-and-so. Be careful. You may lose your salvation. So, you know, whenever I travel, I always ensure that I'm very early at the airport. People who know me will tell you he goes way too early, 3 hours before the flight, minimum. And I'm speaking about domestic flights. If it's an international flight, I might even go 5 hours before. This gives me ample time to get some exercise walking around the massive airport, especially if it's a long flight. Whether I grab a cup of coffee from Starbucks or spend some time looking at the airport book sellers, you know, the airport bestsellers, or walk into the Hugo Boss's men's boutique where I just walk around pretending that the prices do not shock me. Do you do that at the airport? Sorry to share with you some of my habits at the airport. You have to do something there. I go early, and once you go early, you have to find something. So you go into all these, you know, high-end stores, and then I look at the price. I actually go in there to just get shocked at the prices, yeah? My, are they crazy? $300 for a shirt? Who pays $300 for a shirt? And then I try to look at the material, if it's really worth $300. My shirt, which costs $15, it seems to be good enough. But the big picture. The big picture is this, that while I'm looking at a Hugo Boss shirt, or you as a sister may be looking at a Louis Vuitton purse, whatever it is you're interested in, somehow you know at the back of your mind there is the tick-tock of when you should go to your gate. Hallelujah. The tick-tock of when you should go to your gate. God have mercy if you spend so much time with your Hugo Boss shirt or your Louis Vuitton purse that suddenly you hear the gate is closed. My goodness. You know, if Jesus was telling the parable of the 10 virgins, today he would have said maybe those who were the 10 passengers who were boarding the flight. And five of them went into the Hugo Boss boutique. And five of them already were seated near the gate. You know, we've got to make it a contemporary parable, yeah? Let's make sense for all of us. Most of us have experiences with airports, isn't it? Or if not an airport, a train station. You have the same shops in the train station. We have a monoculture in this world today. I mean, these brands that I'm mentioning, they're everywhere. So five were foolish and began to discuss the price of a Hugo Boss shirt. And five were wise and said, listen, we can't afford these shirts anyhow. So we might as well go to the. Why should we remind ourselves of our poverty? Are we sadistic? Why should we torture ourselves with that which we cannot afford? Let's go straight to our gate. You see, we need to be careful because we need to catch our flight. In this journey of life, don't get stuck in the wrong shops and places. You must make it to your gate. Make it to your gate. Say with me loudly, I will make it to my gate on time. Praise God. I will be in that plane that takes off, hallelujah, and goes to the New Jerusalem with Captain Jesus, hallelujah, driving the plane. Say, I will make it to my gate on time. Yes, indeed, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, Brother Simon, they rip you off. Amen. Don't spend too much time there. It's not worth it. You know, even a cup of coffee costs double. I don't want to start complaining. I can tell you a lot about airports. I've been traveling 25 years, sometimes every 2 months, in every corner of the world. After some time, I've gotten tired of airports. I've been in airports in Kathmandu. I've been in airports in New Delhi in India. And I've been in airports in Toronto and Edmonton and Calgary and Dallas. And I'm telling you, they're all the same. It doesn't matter which airport you take off from. The important thing is that you reach your destiny. It doesn't matter where you are, brother or sister, in life. Nothing should keep you from catching your flight and keeping your appointment with Jesus. Hallelujah. Maranatha Jesus, he's coming back soon. Hallelujah. He's coming back soon. Praise Jesus. You know, all the people who are gathered together with Jesus, nobody's going to ask each other, isn't it? So when you left and came to see Jesus, tell me, what were the conditions? Is anybody interested in that? You know, a brother or sister who lived 1,000 years ago, what are we going to talk about? He's going to tell me, yeah, I was with William the Conqueror. We just conquered London and started to speak French in London. I can't identify with that. And I'll be saying, yeah, you know, maybe I was, I don't know, eating in McDonald's. And the brother from the time of William the Conqueror, 1066, asked me, what is McDonald's? Nobody cares where you went from, what the conditions were. What is important is we leave. We're aware of the TikTok. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Praise God. Too many Christians stayed behind. Too many Christians did not make it to the gate. Too many Christians did not take the time and the clock of Jesus seriously. Hallelujah. Remember King Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel, chosen by God. He faced pressure from the Philistines who were preparing for battle against Israel. Samuel the prophet had instructed Saul to wait for him to offer sacrifices before going into battle. Samuel told Saul that he would arrive to offer sacrifices and give him further instructions. However, as the days passed and Samuel did not appear as expected, Saul became anxious. The Philistine army was gathering. His men started to lose heart. In his impatience and fear of losing his men and facing the enemy, King Saul decided to offer the burnt offering himself, even though this role was only reserved for the prophet. The action of King Saul was a direct violation of God's command, as he put on a priestly role that he was not authorized to perform. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Just as Saul finished making the sacrifice, Samuel arrived. Samuel confronted Saul about his actions and revealed that Saul's kingdom would not endure. That God had sought a man after his own heart to be the next king of Israel, indicating that Saul's disobedience had permanently altered his status as king. Saul's impatience cost him the blessing of continued reign over Israel. His inability to wait for God's timing and follow divine instructions led to a significant shift in leadership and ultimately contributed to his downfall as king. This story, perhaps more than any other in the Bible, illustrates the principle that impatience can lead to grave consequences, serious consequences, especially when it involves disobedience to God. Say with me, in your patience possess ye your souls. Amen. I haven't even touched upon the patience of Job. We know we can't speak about patience until we mention Job. His patience is legendary. James chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Hallelujah. We have heard of the patience of Job. Amen. Imagine you are skin and bones. You are wasting away on a daily basis. Even the very sight of you causes your dear friends to react in a violent manner, threw up dust, tore their clothes, sat in sackcloth and ashes. His wife says, "Curse God and die." And yet, say with me, and yet, the patience of Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." I know. Hallelujah. You see, the question of Job is not whether God lives or not. The question of Job is, why is he not doing anything? You see, these are two different issues. For the wife of Job, it's God doesn't exist. Because for her, the existence of God is synonymous with good health, lots of money in the bank, or lots of camels, lots of sheep. Today we'd say lots of money in the bank, lots of friends, respect, fame. So the absence of all these visible markers of affluence, in the absence of them, God doesn't exist for the wife of Job. But that's not Job's conclusion. Job's conclusion is, I know for certain God exists. The question is, why does he allow the righteous to suffer? Hallelujah. That's the question. Amen. The question is not to be or not to be. God is. Hallelujah. To paraphrase Shakespeare. He wasn't speaking about the existence of God. To be or not to be, Hamlet? That is the question. That's not the question here for Job. That was the question for Job's wife. But for Job, it's the question is God is. And I believe that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And since I believe that, why is he allowing the righteous to suffer? That's a legitimate question. God did not give him an answer in the end. But God rewarded his patience, his faith. Amen. God forbid, brother, sister, I don't know what you're going through. Are you suffering like Job? Don't deny God. Don't deny Jesus. Job said, though he slay me, though he kills me, I will yet trust in him. Hallelujah. God allowed Job to attack him verbally. Why does he hide from me? You see? God is no dictator. I've always said this. He said, write it down, all the things that you accuse me of. God hiding. Imagine accusing God of hiding. God who is everywhere, who is omniscient, omnipotent. You accuse him of hiding. You accuse him of having fun with the righteous. God is a good God, brothers and sisters. God is a good God. I've always said it. And I pray that I will say it, whatever I go through. 38 years, my life has been up and down. I've been through many things. But I'm telling you, I've always said God is good. I'm not saying I suffered anything like Job. But I've had my fair share of suffering. My life hasn't been, you know, a bed of roses. But I can tell you, in every suffering, I call upon his name. I tell him, I know you are there. I know my life is in your hands. I know you can change my situation. I appealed, I knocked on the doors of heaven. And God came through for me. And he will do the same for you. Never deny him. Never blaspheme against him. Never attack him. Hallelujah. He is good. His mercy endures forever. We will love him. We'll speak good things about him. We will sacrifice for him. We will dance for him. We will worship for him. We will worship him. Hallelujah. We will glorify him. We are determined to do this. Praise God. Let me conclude where I started. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Whatever you go through, don't be too quick to open your mouth. Be patient. God took Elijah and hid him for 3.5 years. Imagine 3.5 years. He didn't trouble anybody. And then when he meets Ahab, Ahab says, oh, you who troubles Israel. Excuse me. The guy was quiet for 3.5 years. You and your wife Jezebel were troubling Israel. Why do you accuse an innocent prophet? I've often asked myself, if God were to take me and you and, you know, basically hide us away from human company for 3.5 years. And you get your source of food from a crow, a raven. Would you manage that? No. Some people need to talk. Some people need to say something. Some people may die if they can't say something. God have mercy. They have to open their mouth. But maybe God is teaching us patience. Hallelujah. In your patience, possess ye your soul. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time for God to take you and put you near the brook Cherith to only talk with a crow. I can tell you, you don't want to talk to a raven. They don't sound, you know, harmonious. The word harmonious is completely wrong. I don't think Elijah had much company with the raven. He only talked to God. I'm saying this because this is how you develop patience. Amen. Sometimes God may allow you to be isolated. Don't worry, you will not lose your mind. Elijah didn't lose his mind. The Apostle John did not lose his mind in Patmos. We are with Jesus. That which does not kill you will make you stronger in your patience. Say patience. We don't learn patience by talking to people. We learn patience by enduring, sometimes being quiet. Carry your cross. Have you ever seen somebody carrying a heavy cross and talking? Keep falling down. He's, it's nice weather today. Good to see you. And no, when you are suffering, you want to be quiet. Praise God. Sometimes we should be sensitive to brothers and sisters if they're going through a hard time. Maybe they want to be quiet. They want to be left alone, to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And sometimes Jesus will throw you in the midst of 450 prophets of Baal, 2 million children of Israel, noisy. How many times Moses must have missed Midian? Ah, Lord, why did you take me away from Zipporah and my nice life with the sheep? I used to just listen to the voice of sheep alone. Now I'm surrounded by 2 million complaining Israelites. God, praise God. You know, if God puts you in a quiet place to endure, to develop patience, be happy. Like the song said, don't worry, be happy. Amen. Because soon you could suddenly be surrounded by thousands and you will miss your solitude. I don't know why I began to speak about this at the end. Maybe God is speaking to somebody. But all in all, it agrees with the theme, the scripture, in your patience. Let's say this in conclusion and we'll pray. In your patience, possess your souls, Jesus says. Learn to endure. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Patience teaches you to be humble, to be quiet. Amen. It doesn't mean when you are quiet that your faith is not burning in you. It's burning. But it just says, I'm in pain. I'm facing opposition. I'm facing forces I haven't faced before. And I need to endure. I need to possess my soul. Jesus bless you. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message. We believe that you speak through us, that you influence our thoughts, and you help us to channel and verbalize your message, Jesus. I pray that the message that was delivered today will not return void unto you. It will touch, it will bless, it will instruct, it will heal, it will give answers to those who need answers. I pray for those who may be going through a Job-like experience. I pray this message will come as a timely one to lift up the weary spirit, to strengthen the feeble knees, to let them know your God reigns in Zion. Lord Jesus, reinforce the faith of your people. Let them know that God is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And if for some reason you are quiet, it is because their faith, which is more precious than silver or gold, must be further refined through the medium of patience so that it will come forth pure as gold. Bless your people today. Encourage those who need encouragement. Let them know at the end of the day, the most important task we have is to be aware of the prophetic clock of God that does not wait for anybody, that never breaks down, that never needs to be repaired, But it keeps ticking away, reminding us that the return of Jesus is imminent. Bless your people today. Thank you for keeping them this last week. We haven't lost any brother or sister to death as yet. They're still with us. But there will come a day we will say our goodbyes to each other. And all we are trying to do, Jesus, is help each other. So that when that day comes, and we take them to the brink of human existence, before they enter through the invisible doors of eternity, I pray, Jesus, that we will do our best to help them to be patient. In their patience, to possess their souls. This prayer may come up as incense before your throne. May you give an answer of peace in return. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, Amen.